Welcome to Activate Yourself with Gita Sidhu-Rab, where we feature otherwise normal people who, because of events in their life, have turned left and done unusual, inspiring, incredible things, like build a business, become a happiness expert, marry a prince, create an empire, or like your host, set up a health and wellness business, Nosh Detox. Here's your host, Gita Sidhu-Rab.
Hi, my name is Gita Sidhu-Rab. This is Activate Yourself. Thank you so much for joining me again today. Working with mental health is always a really interesting thing to do because we don't always know the qualifications of what mental health comes because it's such a, in a way, a new diagnosis that we're giving to people across so many parts of life. And within that, being diagnosed with PTSD is yet another place entirely that you would take somebody because it's not an extreme diagnosis, but it's a place where not everybody finds themselves. And yet we're in a place where normal people, I'm putting inverted commas in there in case my guest comes through and beats me, but normal people can get diagnosed with PTSD, which if you think about it, how is this not something we should have known? If we go through life and shitty things happen to us and traumatic things happen to us, they change how our brain functions. If your brain can change how it functions, how come we can't understand that that trauma actually lives in our life and it's something that we have to deal with? And it is really past just doing inner child work. This is stuff that hasn't shifted from our psyche and we don't know how to cope with it. So today's guest is going to come on and sound deeply intelligent because I'm too hot at the moment to sound intelligent. So she's all yours. And we have the amazing Jill Sipnick, who's coming to talk to us today about her diagnosis of PTSD and what that did for her and how it changed her life and how she's now gone on to work in that area. So Jill, welcome. Thank you so much for giving me the time.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. And I'm more than happy to pick up the slack. You relax, cool off, get a fan. It's all good.
If I got a fan, the children would steal it. This is so there's really no point. I should just sit here and whine and we're good. So
I'm here. It's all good.
Yeah, exactly. You were diagnosed with PTSD, right? This is how it started?
Yes, in my late 40s.
And what was the lead up to this?
Well, I lost my partner of over 20 years. I lost Carl. And about 18 months after that very traumatic experience, I was kind of on the way to healing. My widow's fog was dying down a bit. I was in a new relationship. Everything on the surface looked great. And then I wound up getting a work email that was on a level of importance, a 1, but my body just absolutely flipped out. To me, it was a 10. To me, this work email about needing some sort of certification, I was working at Microsoft at the time. It represented to me that I was going to lose my job, lose my house, and be living in my car. Even though I knew that couldn't happen, my body was reacting as if doom was right around the corner. And so I had been working with a therapist to help me with my grief work. So I knew my therapist for a year and a half at that point. And I went back to her because she let me kind of pick up and put down therapy. And I went back with these really unique symptoms. My body couldn't calm down. I couldn't sleep. My shoulders were up to my ears. My palms were sweaty.
Yeah, the fear of flight and extreme, right?
Extreme. That I was running a race I was never going to be able to win.
Yeah.
And so after a couple of months of talk therapy with my symptoms not decreasing, that's where we got to a PTSD diagnosis due to childhood abuse. And I argued. I was like, no, have you met me? Come on. I'm corporate girl. I got everything.
I'm balanced. I can cope. I'm resilient. God, I hate that word so much.
Have you met me? And she had me read The Body Keeps the Score by Vanderkolt. And that's the book that taught me about trauma in the body. And I realized I was responding incredibly appropriately to not only the current event in my life, but year 1 through 19, the abuse from my childhood. So that's kind of the story in a nutshell.
So you find out that you've got this PTSD. And what do you then do about it? Is it the talk therapy that helps with that? Or what, because acceptance of it is one thing, then treatment of it is another, right?
Right. Well, I think what's interesting about my story and why I'm chatting with people like yourselves to be an advocate for this particular therapy is that I fell into psychedelic assisted psychotherapy for PTSD. My therapist was training to become a psychedelic assisted psychotherapist. And so she had me go look at the MAPS website, MAPS.org, which is the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies. Those are the folks over here in the US who have run the clinical trials about PTSD in the healing modality using MDMA.
Right.
And at the time, they were through the second clinical trial. And on average, I was an English major, so I do everything average. On average, 2/3 to 3/4 of the people who had been through 3 sessions of MDMA psychedelic assisted psychotherapy no longer qualified for a PTSD diagnosis.
Okay, why?
Well, that's a whole other. So,
okay. Yeah, like, how does it work?
We can explain that. Yeah, we can explain that. So what basically happened was, is that I looked at the research. I looked at my therapist saying she would work with me along with her mentor, who was a medical doctor at the time. So I just want to be super clear that this was not like, this wasn't like somebody I didn't know. I vetted
who
I was.
You were just getting high on the side. You were in safe pair of hands.
There you go. Okay. So the way that the therapy works for trauma patients is that MDMA, or more commonly people know it as like Molly or ecstasy.
Yeah.
Okay. So pure solid MDMA, not mixed with anything, works as an empathogen in a therapeutic environment. And what that means is that I suddenly had empathy for myself. I was willing to connect. And as a trauma patient, and I'm putting my hands on my shoulders for folks who are just listening in, for maybe the first time in like forever, my shoulders were not at my ears. And I use that example to say that trauma calms the body down. And so without my body feeling a ton of fear, I was able to talk about, you know, my fear of my father. I really thought that if he had been in the room, he would have killed me. I was able to talk about my childhood with my mother attempting suicide multiple times. I was able to talk about food insecurity and housing insecurity without my body kind of reacting the way that it reacted when I experienced those things as a child. So that's kind of that in a nutshell, because I think you're ready. You already got a question ready. I'm ready.
No, I'm kind of listening to you, and I'm filtering through family members who have had the same diagnosis, as we were saying before we came on. Right. And it's interesting that I'm kind of looking at that, and I'm thinking of, in reference to them, what it was like. But because I've always come from the other side, where I firmly believe that if you have traumatic enough events, and trauma is very personal, and you know what can be traumatic, you cannot necessarily be for me, but whatever, that it I know this from the training I've had, that it shifts how your neural pathways work, it shifts how your synaptic pathways are built. Yep. Your entire brain function changes. Like, it also, there are so many studies of people that grow up in war zones and how their bodies function completely differently. For example, the women only give birth to boys. They don't give birth to girls because, it's a really interesting study that when women come out of war zones or are living in war zones or are adjacent to war zones, they actually, the population growth of boy babies goes through the roof.
Wow.
Yeah. So everything in a body shifts. So why would this obviously not be one of them?
Sure.
But this is now obviously very different to the recreational taking of MDMA and Molly and everything, right?
No, so it's very different. It's very, very different.
That's what I just said. It's very different. So I don't want anyone who's listening to suddenly think they're about to have a really great time and jollies are coming. We're going to go for a quick break and we'll be right back. And when we come back, I would love you to explain to me how that process worked for you, because I'm really interested in that.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Good, good, good. Okay, so we're back. What is it that happened to you when you took MDMA and the way in which it happened? Why is this different from just getting high?
Right. What's the medical procedure involved?
That's
what I always really focus on, that this is a medical procedure. So the same way that you would prepare for something like a surgery is the same way that you would prepare for a psychedelic assisted psychotherapy session.
Right.
You've got a couple of days or weeks. For me, it was months running up to the session, making sure you know what you're going to be talking about, what your issues are, things of that sort, building trust with your guides and your doctors or who you're going to be working with. And then the actual day is, you know, very much a medical procedure. I went to a journey space, which was beautiful. It had multiple seating areas. It had a beautiful mattress with lots of blankets, because sometimes with this work, it can get very somatic. You might need to move around a little bit. You might need to lay down. And beautifully decorated. This was not like a stark hospital room. I came in, I sat with my two doctors. We chatted about intentions just to make sure everybody was on the same page. I took my first dose of MDMA. On the medical side, what you do is you have a starter dose, and then about an hour in, if you choose to have a booster dose, you can say yes or no to that. That's just basically the protocol at this point. The journey lasted a solid 5 hours, which is a little bit short. I was very, very guarded. The first MDMA journey for a patient is usually about safety. What is this medicine? Who are these people I'm working with? What is this environment? You've mentioned a few times your inner children. My inner children did not trust adults. So my inner children were kind of like testing the waters with these two
people.
You know? So the first journey is usually about safety. And after about 5 hours of chatting, alternately chatting, laying down, we like to say you're with the medicine. I love putting on a little eye mask and just kind of letting the medicine kind of do its thing. Very often your guides will say, well, let's ask that question of the medicine. You know, like, why was my father always terrorizing me? They don't give an answer. They turn around and say, well, let's ask the medicine. And the medicine will turn around and say, pretty much because he was an awful person. This is not the universe after you, the way that a toddler would think that the universe is after you. Yeah. This is just a deeply, deeply hurt and dangerous man that you happen to be in his environment. So it's the shifting of the perspective of a lot of your memories. Some of that happens during the actual MDMA journey. Most of that happens the days, weeks, and even a few months after that journey. The integration or the healing time is really where that reframe happens more often.
So you go through this process, and you said you went through it a few times, three times?
Right. Over the course of a year.
Over the course of a year. So you did it once, and then you went, because I have a friend who is a very well-known biohacker, and he talks about there's no point in just going off and doing not MDMA, but plant medicine. He goes, do the medicine and then do the work. And then he emphasizes the fact that you need integration time with plant medicine. I'm assuming with this kind of stuff, you need the same thing, right?
Yes. The psychedelics in general, the real healing time to focus is most of the time during the integration. Because what you talked about earlier, your neural pathways, you are changing the way you think about things. You have to give your brain time to build up those particular pathways for it to become a part of you. And that's what happens during the integration phase.
So was each step distinct enough that you could see a difference?
Yes.
Because that's why you went back for more.
Yes. That's what winds up happening. I always kind of make this, I make like a little triangle or a little summit in my hands that my intentions were all about fear. And so the beginning of the integration, you're kind of climbing this little mountain, and you're kind of reframing. And then you kind of get to the top of what you were able to heal with that particular journey. Yeah. And then you'll start to notice that the reframing stops, and you've still got the fear, and you've still got things to heal. So that's the downward stuff. And when you get over here, that's when you're ready for another journey. So it's, 1,000% not a turnkey solution for complex PTSD, in my instance, PTSD, just the healing of, you know, the suicidal ideation and the universe is against me. It took 3 times going through that cycle. And that just healed the capital T traumas. I continue to work through some of the abuse and trauma just because I was marinated in it for like 19 years when I was a kid.
Yeah. And when you, were there distinct steps in the journey from number one to number two to number three?
Distinct steps.
In your understanding, would you look back and go, here's what kind of happened the first time I took it. Here's what happened the second time. Because what we're talking about with MDMA is we're saying that there is a shortcut, a rude word. It's a more direct route to helping you deal with your trauma.
I would use the word direct. I wouldn't use shortcut. I would use
because it's not like it's easy.
Right. I think the way I would answer that question is that my therapist loves the term, we're unraveling the layers of the onion. She loves the term. And so I think that's private, that, you know, the first journey dealt with the outer layers, second journey, a few more layers, third journey, kind of deeper in there. That's I think, the best way I can describe it.
No, I like that, because like when I'm coaching, I talk about unpacking emotion. So I get that, because there's places where emotion is so entrenched that, you know, that it's within a box, in a box, in a box, in a box, in a box, and it just doesn't want to let go of it, anything. And what you're trying to do is find a way to let go of it. No, that makes a lot of sense. So how did you go from being the person that took this year to work through it to now you now help other people to do this, right?
Well, I got to tell you, so my third journey, coming out of that third journey, where we had used a little bit of psilocybin, magic mushrooms, in addition to MDMA. And I came out of that third journey knowing that I had done some real work. I had actually, that inner five-year-old had escaped her childhood home that her father kind of terrorized her in.
Yeah.
I came out of that journey just immediately feeling better. And that's kind of rare for psychedelic assisted psychotherapy. Usually you need that integration time, but this was so dramatic that when I was coming out of the enhanced state, I said to my doctors, I would not believe this if I hadn't gone through it. And remember, this is several years before they even got done their phase 3 clinical trials. I mean, I did my work underground and there really wasn't any information about what this therapy is. And I said, I need to use my corporate girl voice and explain this. I have a teaching background. I was an English teacher for 10 years. I was in the K-12 system over here for 20 years. I have an educational technology background.
Right. So
I'm a person that can take this concept and help destroy the stigma that surrounds psychedelics, because this can work. And right now in the US, we don't have an incredibly effective way of dealing with PTSD. We medicate people, people are in therapy, but we have people.
Oh, and we get them addicted to all kinds of shit as well in the US. It's terrible, especially the veterans.
Yeah, we just don't have a really good solution. And that's why our FDA labeled MDMA therapy in 2017 breakthrough designation, which means even the FDA recognized that this particular healing modality, we didn't have anything currently on the shelf that even comes close.
So it sounds like you're saying that taking MDMA enables people to get through more quickly because it's more direct. The shells that we build up to protect ourselves, and that talk therapy just doesn't get there. I mean, it maybe gets there after a huge amount of time, but MDMA helps to get through it much faster than it would otherwise be possible.
Well, two things. I always say that talk therapy is the horse and buggy on the country road.
Yeah.
MDMA is the zippy sports car on a highway. So it is absolutely faster. But secondly, and anybody who's going through something emotional can use MDMA in a therapeutic sense. For people specifically going through a PTSD storm, emotional flashbacks. Their life, they don't think that they're going to be able to continually function with the way that their body's responding. MDMA's unique ability to calm the body down, to make you want to connect, to even have empathy and forgiveness for yourself. It is a unique healing modality that allows for specifically that clientele facing that internal physical uproar. It gives that particular population a solution.
Thank you. That's very clear. When we come back, I would like to know more about why, as in, I'm pretty sure there's a why I haven't asked yet. I'm always about why. So we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So we're back. What is it about psychedelics that makes them work this way on the brain?
Well, I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on TV. I come to it from a patient point of view. But the way that I see it is that the release of serotonin, at least with MDMA, really allows for these wonderfully trusting, empathetic feelings that dull. And this is, every doctor is probably going to yell at me when I say this, it's just my patient perception, that those feel good chemicals dull the fear, that fear that usually is running through my body. It would be like, imagine, so I'm a beach girl. Mm-hmm. So like hanging on the beach, that just nice relaxed feeling of being on the beach. Take that feeling and plug that into something that makes you super nervous. Maybe you're about to do a speech in front of a bunch of people. Maybe there's a big event that you are in charge of, a big work thing that you're kind of nervous about. Imagine taking that nervousness feeling and just within an hour being able to replace all that nervousness with the calm of like laying on the beach. That's what it does for the body. I do have some videos on my website, thejourneysage.com, that actually go into the neuroscience. And I direct people there because, again, not a doctor. I don't play one on TV.
Yeah, no, I've got your website here, which is really interesting. What is it that you now do to help people with this? How is it that you work in this space?
Well, so what I have been doing is simply being an advocate, because in the States, this is still not available. We have, cross your fingers, do a happy dance. August 11th is when the FDA is supposed to approve this particular therapy. There's been a little bit of static, the way I anticipated a little bit of static. We're talking about a psychedelic, and we're talking about an FDA process that doesn't understand therapy. It only understands the chemical part of the drug. So there's been a little bit of static. Where I see my place is just being an educational resource. My YouTube channel is kind of like my curriculum. It's the content that I wish had been around when I was going through the therapy. What is this therapy? What is the procedure? What is an intention? What should I look for in guides? All that kind of stuff. Yeah. Cross our fingers that FDA approval happens next month, and then our DEA, our drug association, has time to then reschedule, because MDMA is a Schedule I drug. They will probably reschedule it so that practitioners will be able to use it. And so maybe by 2025, I don't know when in 2025 in the States, it'll be available. It's already available in Australia. Australia was the first one to kind of move forward. And so at that point, I think my role will probably change a little bit. People have already started reaching out. They want more specific information. You know, is this right for me? Things of that sort. And I joined Third Wave Psychedelic Coaching Program because, you know, the inner teacher in me, the inner guide, I'm looking forward to helping folks maybe that didn't have my level of trauma, because, you know, I'm not a therapist, to help folks who are just trying to, you know, get over a little bit of a stopgap they might have in
their life. Wait, there's a thing called Third Wave Psychedelic Coaching?
Yeah, Third Wave is an established
name. Love it. That is the best name for coaching I have ever heard.
Hang so on. Far, it's a really good program.
I love it. No, I just like the name. I'm like, honestly.
They have a pretty good, well, there's a third wave of psychedelics in that we had psychedelics centuries ago. We had psychedelics in the early 1900s before they got caught up in the drug wars and things of that sort. So this is the third wave of psychedelic research and resurgence.
Is MDMA an addictive drug?
No, not. There is no research that says MDMA on its own is addictive. You have folks who are using it to party and you're not seeing any addiction sites. You're not seeing people complain about it. I want to say that I think anybody can become addicted to anything.
Yeah.
But MDMA releases so much serotonin. It's not the kind of thing where you can take it multiple days in a row. You actually get an MDMA hangover, especially if you don't supplement well. So I have yet to find any real statistics on addiction with MDMA because it doesn't lend itself to constantly feeling good, especially when you're using it therapeutically. You definitely need time off from it.
Yeah, because when you say the hangover, you mean there's a crash at the end of it because of the serotonin.
Yeah, your serotonin has been depleted. So it's not uncommon that the next couple of days while your serotonin stores are being built back up that you don't feel that great.
Yeah, I can imagine, which is where having some support actually would come in helpful.
Yes.
What do you see is, because with the way that this has helped you, and the way that you are now working with it, what do you see the future of this?
You know, I want to be super optimistic that I think we're going to be crawling first. We're going to have this therapy available in clinics. A patient or a client would go to a place that is safe, that is vetted, that the people are trained. And then I'm hope, and unfortunately, I think in the very beginning, it's going to be very expensive because you're dealing with the time of at least a therapist preparing you during the actual day. You're dealing with two professionals and it can be a 5 to 8 to 10 hour day. So that gets pricey. Where I'm hoping is that the process gets streamlined. We have an accreditation process for therapists because that's also in development right now. And that hopefully insurance will start to, you know, look at this as a healing modality and help out. Because I think, again, we're going to be crawling first. And as we're crawling, it's going to be a little slow and a little expensive. And hopefully we'll get to be walking faster than I think we will, but hopefully we'll get to walking at some point.
And with your third wave psychedelic coaching qualification means that you can give psychedelics or you help people who've been on psychedelics?
I think it's a both, but the primary, you know, ketamine is legal in the States and a lot of states are specifically looking at psilocybin. There's also a good number of states who are looking at, okay, you can have certain psychedelics as long as you only have a certain amount of them, meaning we don't want you dealing them kind of
stuff.
No,
exactly. It's for personal use.
Right. And so I think we're in a situation in the States where I can work with folks, again, not at my level of trauma. I know my limitations, but you know, if you're in a career and you're just trying to move forward through something, or, you know, you had something in your past that you want to kind of jump over, that would be something that people could work with me on. And I'm not past the program yet. I'm still in the program. So I can't speak to how things are going to look for me afterward. I'm just looking forward to the content's really good in this program. So I'm really enjoying it so far.
Good. I'm pleased. And does it make you feel like you have I would imagine, I don't want to put words in your mouth. I would imagine that it provides in you a level of optimism about the future that wasn't necessarily there before.
Right. I mean, I've worked with, in addition to my therapy from 2022, I've worked with a variety of psychedelics to understand how they work with trauma, to understand how they work with different personalities. And so I am optimistic because just because the word is psychedelic, the medicines work very differently. Psilocybin works very differently from MDMA, works very differently from Bufo, works very differently from Iboga. And they all have different advantages and disadvantages. And I'm excited for it. I mean, I've seen amazing things happen with people on MDMA. I've seen amazing things happen with people using Iboga for addiction. We just as a society in the States, we are not an anti-drug society in any way, shape, or form. We are the drugs that are acceptable have really good lobbying groups right now.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Well put.
Yeah.
No, completely. Because whatever is well lobbied for in the US succeeds, whatever is well funded. I'm always surprised the Mexican drug cartels just didn't set up a lobbying firm, because it would have made things an awful lot fun. You know, maybe they were worried they would discount the product too much.
The fact that cigarettes, which are incredibly addictive and have no health benefit, are not Schedule I drugs, but MDMA is, like, yeah. So
yeah, I mean, like tobacco, like alcohol, you know, there's just a place that, yeah. No, I agree. Tell me how people can find you.
I'm the Journey Sage. I teach about the journey. So journeysage.com, you can check out a couple of chapters of my book on the website. And I have a intention setting workbook in the very first prompt, Understanding the Body, that's available to everybody up on the website. And if you just want to understand the therapy more, that's what my YouTube channel is for. It's kind of like my little mini curriculum.
Amazing. That's brilliant. I shall be forwarding your YouTube channel to some members of my family. They live and they learn from it. So thank you very much. And I'm really grateful that you joined me.
Thank you so much for having me. This was delightful.
This is a pleasure. My name is Geeta Sidhu-Rob. This is Activate Yourself. You know, it's, what am I trying to say? I don't know about drugs. I react so badly to drugs. And then I listen to conversations like this one that I've just had with Jill. And I think that there are things that we don't know and understand. I mean, like, do I think it's better that somebody lives with trauma for the whole of their lives? No. I look at women's bodies and how much infertility we have rising at the moment, because women deal with ever increasing amounts of trauma and higher levels of cortisol. And I was thinking through this conversation, I wonder if this is a way that we can help women to unwind so that they can be and feel stronger within themselves and happier in who they are. And that was just one of the thoughts, because I have never thought I would ever have a conversation with somebody where we would say, you know what, these drugs are really good for you. I'm just a fan of never saying that. So it's been an interesting conversation. It's been a learning experience, and I hope it was that for you too. Thank you so much for joining me, and I'll speak with you soon.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our goal was to give you pause, make you think about your life, and inspire you to say, wow, what if I tried to do that? If they can do it, so can I. Did it work? Let us know by finding us on social media at Geeta Sidhu Rob or at Nosh Detox. We upload new shows every 2 weeks here. And if you start to miss us, check us out on YouTube.